Greetings, truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Happy Monday. Happy Super Bowl Monday. Hey, did you hear the socialist team won the Super Bowl yesterday? That's right. The socialist team won. The only publicly owned team in the NFL won last night. Way to go, Green Bay Packers. Who even knew? Who knew? I understand a lot of people watch that show for some reason. And I, of course, I did as well. Had a good time. But now it's Monday. Now we get down to business. And we got a lot of business straight ahead for you on this program today, including some breaking news, which we're trying to work out right now. It appears that, two points here to note that sort of work together. One, the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council, the group of corporatist right-wing Democrats, is folding. See ya. Don't let the door hit you. Secondly, speaking of corporatist Democrats, Congresswoman Jane Harman is cutting and running. That's right, Democratic Congresswoman from California out here. She announced today that she was resigning. Which, you know what? It's February. February 7th. The Congress came in, the new Congress, about 2 weeks ago. And this woman waits till now to quit. Are you kidding me? She's run against Marcy Winograd twice, an actual progressive Democrat, run against her twice in primaries out here in California, and made Marcy Winograd raise a whole lot of money, only to lose to Jane Harman out here in those primaries, only so that Jane Harman could then be sworn into Congress on January 20th and quit 2 weeks later, which will lead to a special election down here in Los Angeles. And, of course, because L.A. and California has plenty of money, no problem running special elections anytime. Hey, Jane, way to go. Man. So we're going to get some, we're trying to reach her on the phone right now, Marcy Winograd. We hope she will join us in just a few minutes to discuss this, to discuss what happened to Jane and why she's leaving. The reason she's supposedly leaving is to head up the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, according to a senior congressional source confirmed by the L.A. Times. That's why she's leaving. I guess she couldn't have done that a few weeks ago or, you know, a few months ago. Marcy Winograd was running, was raising money, was out on the stump campaigning for a year prior to the elections last November. Just confirming, frankly, what a lousy woman Jane Harman really is. Pardon me, but there you go. So we're going to try to reach Marcy Winograd, find out what her plans are going to be, if she is going to run in this special election, which is going to be a little bit different out here in California. There will be no primary because of a proposition that was passed last year. Now it's the top two, essentially. There's no party primaries. It's just the top two. She'll explain all of that to us shortly, I hope, if we can get here on the broadcast. On the broadcast, I forgot to say, I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, broadcasting live from the left coast because the Malloys, they're out on a progressive cruise. They're cruising the Caribbean. Or the Caribbean, I don't know how you say it, with a whole bunch of progressives, and hopefully having a good time. They'll be gone all week. You'll get me instead. Hope you don't mind. I'm delighted to be here with you. And if you'd like to reach the broadcast throughout the night, you can do it. You can try to call us at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Write it down. We'd love to hear from you throughout the night as we can, because these are your airwaves. Use them or lose them more than you already have, progressives. 877-520-1150. You can also stop by the chat room at the Brad Blog, which is always lively during the show. We open it up on show nights when I'm sitting in for Mike. Go to the top item at bradblog.com. Click through You can just follow the links. You're smart people. Sign in there, and it's actually, you don't even need to sign in. You just need to come on in and say hello. And helping us out tonight, because Desi Doyen, our usual screener, producer, chat room mistress, is she's running around like her chicken with her head cut off trying to get Marcy Winograd. So 4Earth is helping us out tonight. Thank you, 4Earth. She's we have drafted her into duty in the bradblog.com chat room. So check that out. You can also Twitter us throughout the program at the Bradblog. That would be me. I am the Bradblog over on the Twitters. So if you have a thought, a question, a comment, a curse, you can send it my way there as well. We're also going to have tonight to set, well, we're going to be celebrating a couple of things. First, in this hour, since it was Ronald Reagan's 100th birthday yesterday, something you may have, maybe you didn't hear. Did you hear, Tony, that it was his 100th? How could you not hear it? Everyone running around, this hagiography about what a fabulous guy he is and what an extraordinary legacy he's left for this nation. Well, that's the mainstream corporate media approved version. We're going to have a different version. Will Bunch is going to be joining us. He's from the Philadelphia Daily News, author of the book Tear Down This Myth. Yes, he will be telling us about the right-wing distortions of the Reagan legacy, all the things they didn't tell you yesterday when they were busy reading the Declaration of Independence before the Super Bowl. Did you see that part, Tony? You missed that part, huh? Yeah, they read the Declaration of Independence before the Super Bowl. I mean, I can't even imagine that going on during the Bush years. During the Bush years, when we'd get to 4th of July, and every year at Bradblog, I would post the Declaration of Independence. I felt like it was seditious. I mean, this document, if you read it, you know, talks about the tyranny of the government, overthrowing the government. That was something you did not talk about back in the darkest days of the Bush regime, back when talking about the president in any negative light at a time of war was, of course, something that was a clear signal that you hated America. Now it's fine. Now you can talk about, apparently the wars are all over. There's no more wars going on because it's just fine to criticize the president at a time of war. And it's fine to talk about sedition and revolution and overthrowing the government. I just, fine. Read the Declaration of Independence before the Super Bowl because they go together like, why do they go together? Why are they, I don't know. But that's what they did. And like I said, I can't imagine them having done that during the Bush regime. Speaking of the Bush regime, leading torturer in chief for 10 years was at that game yesterday. He was not arrested for some reason. I don't completely understand. So we're going to talk about that later in the show. Since today is the 9th anniversary of Bush's decision to ignore the Geneva Convention entirely. It doesn't matter. Al-Qaeda doesn't apply to them because they're enemy combatant, because they don't wear a uniform or some nonsense like that. However, what it meant was that George Bush, who was planning to go to Switzerland, suddenly, for some odd reason, decided to cancel his trip to Switzerland once he heard the charges were potentially going to be brought against him in Switzerland for the torture he carried off in the name of this country for so many years, which Barack Obama has failed to do a damn thing about. And, of course, because of the UN Convention Against Torture, if the home country where the torture exists doesn't bring charges against the war criminal, then the other signatories to the treaty must do so. And so they have an obligation. If George Bush shows up on Swiss soil, well, he needs to be investigated for war crimes. And we are going to be speaking about that later on in the program to Vince Warren of the Center for Constitutional Rights, who has been helpful in bringing forward these torture charges, accountability, the rule of law, the things that Republicans used to give a damn about. Oh, all of that. We got a big, big show ahead for you, just like I promised. Plus, your calls and stuff that's on your mind and We'll and Marcy Winograd. Okay, I think we do. We are going to have her after the break. So buckle in, kids. It's going to be a big, big night. Let's see. Marcy Winograd, Vince Warren, Will Bunch, all straight ahead. And what else? There was some other business I did want to get. Well, I'll get to it. I'll get to it as the night goes on. Oh, Clarence Thomas. Man, talking about criminals. Hopefully I'll have time to talk about it a little bit tonight. We're going to have Bob Edgar on tomorrow night to talk about this. I wrote about it last week at the Brad blog. Clarence Thomas committed a crime for the last 20 years by falsifying his disclosure forms and not reporting that his wife was bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Heritage Foundation. Could you imagine if Ruth Bader Ginsburg did that with Acorn? Good Lord. Brad, in from Malloy. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. Brad Friedman in for MikeMalloy.com. We've got some breaking news here tonight with Jane Harman, a congresswoman from California, just cutting and running here at the last second. What, after 3 weeks in Congress, and I think it's her ninth session, it's rather incredible that she did this. This after twice defeating Marcy Winograd out here in California, in Los Angeles, in the primary. We have Marcy Winograd right now with us on the phone. There will be a special election. And, hey, Marcy, thanks for jumping in at the last second. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Oh, thank you so much, Brad. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you here. And, boy, were you as mystified and kind of angry as I was when I saw this news today?
Well, it happened at such a dizzying pace. I have to tell you, I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
I teach high school in South Los Angeles. So I went to my car on my conference period just to routinely check my phone, and I had about 18 messages, and I thought, what? What's happening?
Right.
And, of course, I had quite a few calls from people wanting to know if I was going to run. And my feeling is that I really want to weigh the options. I want to see what people are thinking. I did talk to Janice Hahn. She called me right away to announce that she was going to run, to ask for my endorsement should I decide not to run. And we had an opportunity to talk, and basically what I told her, Brad, was that I have two primary concerns in regards to whoever goes to Congress, and that is, number one, that I want somebody to go to Congress who's going to challenge, be it sponsored by Democrats or Republicans, who will challenge this perpetual war policy that sends our youth, the young men and women I teach, to battle, sends them home to commit suicide, bankrupts our budget, 50 cents of every tax dollar, you know, goes to military contracts and so forth, that I need to know somebody's going to have the courage to challenge this. And she said to me, she assured me, well, I've been very critical of the wars. And I said, that's good to hear. I said, I have another concern, and that is, given what has happened in Egypt, and the whole world has witnessed the power of the people in the street demanding change, and given that the United States has aligned itself with Israel in the peace negotiations, giving Israel, what, $30 billion, we are not honest brokers for peace. It's jeopardizing our safety, our security across the globe, not to mention we are complicit in egregious human rights violations. I said, I need to know that you are going to advocate for honest peace negotiations. And she said she wanted to make it clear that she was a friend of Israel. At which point I said, well, would you be willing to meet with a group of Jews and Palestinians who might offer an alternative viewpoint? And she said yes. So that's where we left it. I think we need a progressive voice in this race, and by that I mean somebody who is going to challenge every policy that is only bankrupting our country and endangering our youth. It's time for a new voice.
You're talking like a candidate there, Marcy. So Janice Hahn, she is currently, for people who don't know nationally, she is a state a legislator at this time?
She's a city councilwoman.
A city councilwoman, right.
Yes.
Okay. And so she's one of the possibilities. I heard somebody float the name of Secretary of State Deborah Bowen. I've heard our old friend John Amato being floated from Crooks and Liars. When will you, because we only have a minute here or so, when will we know when this election will be? And B, when will you make your decision about running in it?
Well, my understanding is that Jane Harman has not officially resigned, and so special election cannot be set until she does that.
Mm-hmm.
And once she does, then I think by law the election has to be held within 126 days or something like that.
Okay.
So we're not at that juncture yet, and in the meantime, I want to learn more. I want to explore. If people want to get a message to me, they can reach me on my Facebook page, Marcy Winograd. I'd love to hear from you.
At Marcy Winograd via Facebook. Is your old website no longer up and running?
Correct.
Uh-oh.
Correct.
That's how she gets you.
Yeah, you know, my life, we were moving on here.
Unbelievable. I mean, I can't even, I'm sure you're feeling it more than I am, but to come in like that after you ran for a year for this seat, to come in and 3 weeks later say, oh, I'm quitting, I just find appalling.
Yeah, it does not seem fair to the constituents. Whatever happens, I'm very hopeful that we will have a representative for the people in Congress.
Marcy Winograd, thank you for joining us. Look up Marcy Winograd on Facebook if you'd like to send her your message. Give her your thoughts one way or another. Really appreciate you jumping in at the last minute, Marcy.
Thank you, Brad.
Good luck.
Take care.
All right. Will Bunch coming up straight ahead talking about Reagan legacy and what you didn't hear over the corporate media. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Man, it's one of those nights. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. And we're going to be joined momentarily by Will Bunch of the... I don't even have my notes. It's just that kind of a night. Well, I don't have them. We'll just make it up. Senior writer. There we go. Senior writer at the Philadelphia Daily News. Author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy. His newest book is The Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama. Hey, Will. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Delighted you could be here, and thanks for allowing me to push you back a little bit there. We wanted to get in Marcy Winograd with this news of Jane Harman suddenly cutting and running 2 weeks after joining the new session of Congress. So we were able to get her, and I apologize for not getting you after the
Blue Dog's on the run today, so that's the theme, right? So,
no kidding. Yeah, about time. Who needs them? Okay,
yeah,
sir. I figured you might be. All right, Mr. Bunch. Here's my question for you. I'm reading over the weekend The Independent, the British Independent, Robert Fisk, a noted commentator, and he writes this. He says about Egypt. He says, if Mubarak goes today or later this week, Egyptians will debate why it took so long to rid themselves of this tin pot dictator. The problem was that under the autocrats, Nasser, Sadat, Mubarak, and whomever Washington blesses next, the Egyptian people skipped two generations of maturity. For the first essential task of a dictator is to infantilize his people, to transform them into political six-year-olds obedient to a patriarchal headmaster. They will be given fake newspapers, fake elections, fake ministers, and a lot of false promises. And he goes on about that and about infantilizing the people. And as I'm reading this, I'm also hearing about Ronald Reagan and his 100th birthday and how wonderful he was in every respect, and he's minutes away from being carved into Mount Rushmore. And, I mean, does that ring any bells to you, this infantilization of our people when it comes to not just Reagan, but all of our politics of
late?
Well, sure.
Yeah, it does ring a bell, doesn't it? It does sound vaguely familiar. So, yeah, no, I mean, this is a major theme of my book, Tear Down This Myth, about the Reagan myth, is, you know, when you're talking about fake newspapers and, you know, all these people have a role to play. You know, the media was way too eager for a lot of reasons to buy into this mythologized version of Ronald Reagan, and you have a large percentage of the public, not everybody, thank God, but a huge number of people out there looking for this kind of oversimplified hero, and then you have kind of to steal something from my other book, from the title of my other book, but you have these kind of high def hucksters like the Grover Norquist of the world, you know, who are able and willing to cash in on these tendencies of, you know, of the media to kowtow to the right wing, and of people wanting to buy this right wing mythology, you know, and they've used this heroic Ronald Reagan, who essentially has become nothing more than a bronze statue now, you know, 7 years after his death,
right,
to sell policies that go well beyond. I mean, the thing about Reagan is it gets complicated because obviously, you know, he did signal a rise of conservatism in this country, and I think for progressives like us, we don't remember that politically anyway as a great time, mm-hmm. and there was a lot not to like. But I mean, as many have said, and I'll say the same thing that others have said this weekend, is that there's no way that Reagan could win in the Republican primaries in 2012 because he'd be seen as too liberal. I mean, it's crazy, having lived through that time, to think that Republican politics would move so far to the far right that Reagan would be really too moderate or even too liberal on some issues,
yeah,
for his own party. But that's the reality of the Reagan myth.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that Ronald Reagan could not even win a primary election right now with the Tea Party. So let's go through some of these points that apparently have either been forgotten or just we don't talk about anymore when it comes to Reagan. What would be some of those things, Will Bunch, that would disqualify Ronald Reagan from being elected?
Well, if you were doing an attack ad against Reagan in 2012, I mean, the first thing you'd mention is, here's a guy who supported amnesty for, you know, what Republicans call legal immigrants, or I call them undocumented immigrants. So,
right.
You know, yeah, here's a guy who supported the largest amnesty program for immigrants, undocumented, in American history.
3 to 4 million undocumented aliens. Boom. Amnesty.
Yeah, absolutely. Largest ever, 1986.
Yep.
Here's a guy who raised taxes repeatedly, not once, not twice, but depending on what your definition of the word tax increase is, anywhere from 7 or 8 to 11 times, and definitely 4 or 5 major ones that are really worth noting, including the one that Rush Limbaugh seems to know nothing about.
And that was
hilarious. But,
yeah. For those who don't know, we may play this later on in the show, but our pal Mike Stark from StarkReports.com called Rush on Friday and basically asked, why is it that conservatives, so-called, lionize Ronald Reagan, given, and then he went and listed all of these things that Rush could not even speak to. It was remarkable.
But the most hilarious was when Mike Stark started talking about how Reagan, you know, increased taxes to pay for Social Security, and Limbaugh was like indignant, like, that's just not true. He never raised taxes to pay for Social Security. Well, this was one of the, like, you know, I mean, that would almost be like saying, well, you know, President Obama didn't have a health care plan. You know, I mean, it was really that big a part of his presidency.
Yeah. He didn't have a health care. It was Congress who did it. Obama had nothing to do with it. I mean,
maybe that's it. I don't know.
I'm saying that's what they were talking about.
Yeah, right.
It was pathetic. His excuse is, well, where did you hear that?
Where did you hear that?
Well, I was like, what do you mean, where did I hear it? I read history books. It's not a secret. It's only a secret if you listen to Rush Limbaugh and the entirety of the media who don't bother to mention these things.
Right, because, I mean, the thing about and why I think that's so significant, Reagan increasing payroll taxes like that, is the payroll tax is a very unprogressive tax, meaning that it hits working class people and middle class and lower middle class people harder than it hits rich people.
Right.
And that saw a substantial increase because of the Social Security tax deal that Reagan did.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were like a guy who worked in a steel mill or worked, a custodian or something like that during Reagan's presidency, you were paying more out of your weekly paycheck to the federal government in taxes after he came into office than you were before. So to call this guy the great tax cutter of American history, I mean, sure, if you're Gordon Gekko or somebody like that, then he was a great tax cutter because he did, you know, incredibly decrease marginal rates on the wealthiest taxpayers. And it started the things that we all know about that happened over the last 30 years, including just the huge gap between the rich and the poor in this country, and the fact that CEOs who used to make 35 or 40 times what their workers make, which they seem to be happy with at the time, now typically make, 400 times what their workers make.
Well, of course, that might help him get elected with the Tea Party. So let's focus on the things that...
Oh, well, the Tea Party, yeah, well, that's another... That's my other book. That's another story. But
Tea Party. Just Republicans as a whole. I mean, they are under the impression, some of them sort of kind of know about the Ronald Reagan amnesty to the undocumented workers. No, almost none of them know that he raised taxes anywhere, as you say, from 7 to 11 times, depending on how you look at it.
Right. I would say also the other biggest thing they don't know is that he increased the size of government by every measure, whether if you want to measure it by number of employees, he increased that. If you want to measure it by number of federal cabinet departments, he added one. If you want to measure it by spending, which is how a lot of people, especially in this day and age, would measure it, well, even when inflation was taken into account, spending still increased 2.5% on average every year of his presidency. And the debt, I mean, you mentioned the Tea Party. I mean, their big issue supposedly is the debt. The debt. That's all I keep talking about.
Right.
As you probably know, I mean, Reagan racked up more debt than all the presidents who came before him.
Mm-hmm.
It went from $700 billion when he took office to nearly $3 trillion by the time he left. When he came into office, actually, the U.S. was generally a creditor nation, as it had been ever since World War One. By the time he left, we were a debtor nation, and we've continued on that path to this day. And so, if you're one of those people who worry a lot about China, owning too much of our debt, well, guess where that all started? That all started with Reagan. So this is that. And then we haven't even talked about foreign policy, but certainly when you come there, it gets more complicated there because the truth is a lot of the more kind of hawkish tenets of modern Republican foreign policy wouldn't have been supported by Reagan or go beyond him. I mean, he was almost kind of a dove on some issues. Now, I don't want to whitewash it totally. I mean, obviously, I think some of his policies in Latin America and in supporting proxies who committed all kinds of atrocities was horrible. So sometimes when I talk up this point, I get accused of I said something once in an interview, and a bunch of commenters said, "How could you forget the Contras?" I don't forget that. On some other issues, torture. He was against torture.
He signed the UN Convention against Torture, which we'll be talking about in the next hour in regard to George W. Bush. He also cut and run out of Lebanon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you were talking about things that would be used against him in that attack ad, there you go. I mean, as soon as there was a bombing with multiple U.S. fatalities in Lebanon, within a very short period of time, our troops were pulled right out of there.
Which was
the right thing to do. I mean, they shouldn't have been there. They had a really muddled mission. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. But
I use the term cut and run only because that's their term. That's the term on the right. That's the way they refer to it.
Heaven forbid, Obama did something like that, say, in Afghanistan or something like
any
that.
Any Democrat, anything. It's cutting and running. Ronald Ray, and by the way, we're speaking with Will Bunch of Philadelphia Daily News, author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy. And if you want to try to get in, particularly if you're a right-winger out there, if you're a Republican, you disagree with Will or I on this, if you want to try to get in, 877-520-1150. would love to hear from you, because unlike Fox News, we actually are fair and balanced and open to thoughts, other thoughts. He also negotiated with terrorists, did he not, Will Bunch?
Well, he depends which area you're talking about. I mean, he in the Middle East, he traded arms for hostages.
That's right.
Which almost cost him his presidency in 1987 when it came out that was going on. We had a number of Americans who were taken hostage in Lebanon during the unrest there in the mid 80s, and you know, it tore Reagan apart. He felt that it was his job as president to get those people out, and he decided he wanted to do it any way possible, including these arms deals with our, you know, supposed arch enemies in Iran. And in fact, I mean, all this kind of crazy foreign policy stuff happened where, you know, we supported Saddam Hussein and Iraq in this war with Iran, but then, you know, when Iraq would get an advantage in the war, then we'd go to Iran and say, hey, you guys are losing the war. Do you want to buy some arms from us? So we were, like, playing both sides against each other.
And of course, don't forget that, you know, we cited Saddam Hussein gassing, you know, all the Kurds.
Right.
He got the gas from us during Reagan. Will, I got to take a quick break here. Speaking with Will Bunch of the Philadelphia Daily News, tear down this myth, the right-wing distortion of the Reagan legacy. More Will Bunch straight ahead, and your calls. Brad in for Malloy. Yeah, you know the reason you feel free is because Ronald Reagan personally gave you your freedom. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy tonight and all week long. Glad you could be with us. We are joined still by Will Bunch of Philadelphia Daily News, the author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortions of the Reagan Legacy. Okay, Will, very quickly, because I want to get to the phones here, but we ran through.
Yeah.
Okay, amnesty he gave to so-called illegal aliens. He raised taxes. He cut and run. This is Ronald Reagan we're talking about. Cut and run out of Lebanon. He negotiated with terrorists in Iran. He blew out the deficit, and also, he supported the bailout of Chrysler for billions of dollars, and he bailed out and took over the Continental Illinois Bank, as I recall. Did
right. You bet. I mean, you really can't find an example of something where he took a Tea Party-like stance of, you know, government should not get involved in this. Even his famous quote about government being a problem, he prefaced it by saying, in the present crisis, government is not the problem. He never really said he didn't believe in government.
Yeah.
I mean these right-wing extrapolations of what they think Reagan meant are just insane. You know, he saved Social Security. He didn't cut entitlement programs. He added the Federal Department of Veteran Affairs, which, you know,
he grew the government.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if Obama proposed adding a cabinet agency of any kind?
It would be
big government getting in our lives, like that lady on that soda tax commercial. That keeps telling me, you know. I mean, so
yeah. Let me get to a call here because this is, I want to go to Jerry from Madison, Wisconsin, who claims to be a quote unquote liberal. We'll see. In favor of Reagan. Hey, Jerry, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. You're a quote unquote liberal?
Yes, sir.
All right.
You're a Reagan liberal?
So why are you in favor of Reagan, sir?
Because I never saw Reagan as a conservative. I never did. I knew he was a Republican. That much I knew.
Sure.
But his policies, to me, were actually more liberal than they ever were conservative. And that's why I like him.
Okay.
Well, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Will.
Go ahead. I was going to say nowadays, sure. Nowadays he would be definitely a moderate. You know, on a couple issues, maybe he would be called liberal today.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly would be. Thanks, Jerry, for your thoughts. I appreciate it.
I would say the one thing. I mean, I think the most. If you want to hold Ronald Reagan as a liberal, the best thing you can say in that regard is everything we know from having seen his diaries and all of that, he really did want to get rid of nuclear weapons. He really believed in that issue, just the way many of us liberals do. And, you know.
And if Barack Obama came out today and said, I want the world to get rid of all nuclear weapons, oh, my God, can you imagine the response from the, from the right?
Well, if Obama does that, and I'd like to see it, I think what he should do is just give a speech that only quotes Reagan's words, which exist, you know, I mean, and that would be his only chance of getting anywhere with that.
Well, it seems to me that Obama, frankly, is to the right of Reagan on many issues, has been forced there. And just the fact that we could even think now, 20, 30 years later, that Ronald Reagan was a liberal just shows, does it not, Will, how far this country has been pushed to the right?
And that's the point, and that's really one of the main points of my book, Tear Down This Myth. Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a quick example of that. I mean, Reagan believed that, you know, his advisors pressed him to militarily retaliate for some of these terrorist attacks in the Middle East that took place, in, with one exception, which was Libya. But most of the times he turned down all these schemes, and he would say, if we do this, we'll kill civilians with collateral damage, and that'll just be like terrorism itself. You know, killing these innocent civilians. Yeah. You know, now we have Obama with his drones in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know, it's and how many civilians have died in collateral damage from that? So you're right. There's a perfect example of a case where Obama is probably to the right of Reagan on an issue.
Yeah, I mean, and when you saw David Stockman, Reagan's budget director, was on
right.
Bill Maher a week or so ago, and I mean, this guy sounded like a pinko liberal lefty. I mean, he was to the left of Denis Kucinich.
Yeah, I never thought I would say this in a million years, but I've kind of come to really like David Stockman. You know, I always look forward.
I mean,
if that doesn't tell you the times have changed, what does, Brad? You know, I mean,
we are in bad shape, sir. Hey, Will Bunch, I really appreciate your dropping by here. Let's do it again sometime, sir. Really appreciate it.
Oh yeah, anytime, Brad. I'm a big fan. Anytime.
You're very kind, sir. Thank you, brother. Will Bunch from Philadelphia Daily News, author of "Tear Down This Myth: The Right Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy," and his newer book, "The Backlash: Right Wing Radicals, High Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama." Let's keep Will Bunch in business, folks. Go buy those books. You can get the links at bradblog.com. Thanks, amigo. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
All righty. Coming up next, we're going to have Vince Warren moving from Bush's fake legacy to, from Reagan's to Bush's real legacy of torture. All of that and more straight ahead. Brad Friedman, all night, all week long, in for Mike.